I'm Matthew Petty, and this is Intersection. Orlando City Soccer Club has hopes of playing in the big leagues, but for that they'll need to build a soccer-only stadium. The City of Orlando is on board, but what will this cost? Is Orlando ready for Major League Soccer, and can the city afford a new stadium? To answer those questions and more, I'll talk with Orlando City Soccer Club President Phil Rawlins, Mayor Buddy Dyer, and the President of Central Florida Strategies and representative of Rosen Hotels, Angel Della Portilla. Will the next Major League Soccer franchise be in Orlando? That's ahead on Intersection. I'm joined in the studio by Phil Rawlins. Phil is the president and owner of Orlando City Soccer. Welcome, Phil.
Matt, thank you, Matt.
And I'm also joined by Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer. Welcome, Mayor Dyer.
Good to be here, Matt.
And Angel Della Portilla, president of Central Florida Strategies and representative of Rosen Hotels, joins us in the studio too. Welcome, Angel.
Good morning, Matt. Good to be here this morning.
Well, Phil, let's start with you first of all. Why is this a good time for soccer to be looking to expand in Central Florida?
I think to answer that, Matt, you've got to look at the expansion of soccer across the United States. It's been a great time for soccer, really, in the last 10 years. Major League Soccer has done a fantastic job of promoting the game, and it's taken off really across the country. And you see now that it's the third best attended professional sport in the country. The Southeast has really missed out on that, though, because we don't have a Major League Soccer team south of D.C. or east of Houston. So a great time to take advantage of that opportunity to bring the game here to Central Florida and to build on the supporter base we already have and, of course, the tremendous youth soccer base we have in this area.
When you say the South has missed out, I mean, wasn't there a time when Major League Soccer was looking to expand? I think there was a team in Tampa and one in Miami too. So what happened to those teams?
There was, Matt, you're right. And to answer that, you've got to go back and do a little bit of history, I think. Go back to the beginning of the MLS, which was right after the World Cup here in 1994. And the league was in a very different stage at that time. It was a very fledgling league. It was trying to establish itself. And there was a team here in Tampa and in Miami, as you say. I think they suffered because of the lack of success of the league at that point. The league since then has really turned itself around in the last 12 years or so. It's gone on to become the major powerhouse that it is today. Consequently, you know, unfortunately, those two teams dropped away at the wrong time. I think today is very much the right time for soccer, not only in Central Florida, but in the country as well.
I mean, isn't that always, though, a problem, or historically has been a problem with soccer in the United States, that it's hugely popular amongst kids playing soccer at school? I mean, there's obviously the cliche of the soccer mum delivering her kids to the soccer game, but then it doesn't seem to be able to make that jump to professional sports and getting that sort of following at the upper level.
Yeah, I think that's very much been a case in the past. And today is a very, very different time for the game. If you look at all the factors that are supporting that, you know, first of all, it's the number one sport in the country, certainly from a playing standpoint. As we've already said, the number three sport from a professional attendance standpoint. The MLS is now averaging over 19,000 per game across the country. And in areas like, you know, Seattle and Portland, the game has taken off even beyond those numbers. So it's a very different time for the sport in the country today. And that's supported by the fact, you know, you've got in children age, so we say young adults age 12 to 24, it's the number two sport. This is professional soccer now, not youth soccer. The number two sport in the country. Amongst the Hispanic community in that same age group, 12 to 24, it's the number one sport. So I think we've turned a big corner with the sport in this country, and it's very much here to stay.
Mayor Dyer, I want to bring you on the conversation. Let me ask you, I mean, Phil Rawlins mentioned just now that soccer is number three in terms of viewership. It's behind, I think, NFL and Major League Baseball. Why not look to expanding some of those franchises rather than something like soccer in Central Florida?
Well, I think soccer is a sport of the future. We have a very diverse population, and my guess is if we polled them as to what sport they would like to see, probably NFL might be number one, but there's no possibility with Jacksonville and Tampa and Miami all having NFL franchises that we would be able to compete in that arena. But I would guess that soccer would come in a very close number two. And the Sentinel has done a couple of polls, and of course they're not scientific, but asking whether we should pursue Major League Soccer. And then the second question is, should we use taxpayer dollars to build a stadium, and both of those were overwhelmingly yes in the 90 percentile range.
Well, let's get down to brass tacks then, because the cost of this new stadium, obviously, it's not going to be cheap. I think around $110 million, including the value of the land. And the proposal has the city of Orlando paying about $25 million for that in land and cash. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Can the city afford it, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. We've already secured the vast majority of the block or a couple blocks that where the soccer stadium will be. We've put together what I think is a pretty equitable funding formula for building a stadium. We're at the state legislature now seeking to expand the sales tax rebate that goes to for the construction of professional sports stadiums. Currently, it's football, hockey, basketball, and what's my fourth one? What did I leave out? Baseball? Did I say that? Football.
Football, okay. Right.
So we want to expand that to MLS, and that will relate to about $30 million. The team is going to put in at least $30 million and pay a franchise fee of about $50 million. And then between Orange County and City of Orlando and maybe some other local governments, we're going to split the rest of that.
And Orange County, I mean, are they on board with this idea too?
We're still in discussions with Orange County. The deal is not complete, but we're having good positive discussions, let's just say that.
Now, in your State of the City address a few weeks back, you made a reference to maybe the official bird of the city should be the crane, talking about the number of construction projects. I mean, there are a lot of them around. I'm just wondering, I mean, is a soccer stadium sort of adding too much to the mix there?
Oh, not at all. We have plenty of room for additional development, and this fits in so well with what we've been working on for the past 10 years, which is basically a sports and entertainment corridor that stretches from the Performing Arts Center on the east end to the Citrus Bowl on the west end with the Amway Center and eventually a soccer stadium in between.
Let me ask you, too, a question about transportation, because SunRail has kind of been pitched as something that can link into all these central city entertainment venues. Is that something you could see sort of driving attendance to games if there were a new soccer stadium in that quadrant?
Well, there will be a SunRail station roughly three blocks from the front entrance of the soccer stadium. And then also, in conjunction with SunRail, we are expanding the free limo system that's in downtown Orlando. So there'll be a east-west segment that runs from Thornton Park to Paramore, so basically right by the front door of the soccer stadium. So you could park in Thornton Park and have dinner, jump on the limo bus, go enjoy the soccer game, and then come back without having to drive your car over to the stadium.
Phil, let me ask you now, too, I mean, what do you see as the benefits to the city of Orlando of bringing a major league franchise here?
Well, I think it stretches beyond just the city of Orlando. I think if we look at this from a region-wide perspective, Matt, that's the right lens to look through because it does have a major impact on the whole of Central Florida. To answer that, you know, we conducted an independent study conducted by CSNL from Dallas, who are the industry leader in this area, and they did an economic impact study for us that we published in October. That showed that there would be a $1.3 billion impact to the region over the next 30 years from bringing Major League Soccer here to Central Florida. So there's a proven track record there and a proven economic impact that MLS can bring and the franchise can bring to the area. But above and beyond that, I think if we're marrying here together the world's most visited city in Orlando with the world's biggest game. So I think the internationalization of the city and what we can do for that can go far beyond just the boundaries of the U.S. You know, we can make Orlando a world-famous soccer venue, as the mayor's talked about, around the world, you know, through this expansion. So, the $1.3 billion is there, but I think we've got to look beyond that to the whole international marketplace and what we can do for Central Florida.
Angel, let me ask you about what the hotel industry sees coming out of this. I mean, are hoteliers on board with the idea of having a major league stadium built in Orlando and having that soccer venue there?
It depends on what hoteler you ask. But let me just talk a little bit about sports tourism in Central Florida because it is big business. Last year, 171,000 room nights were attributable to sporting events. So people do travel. People do stay at hotel rooms for sporting events. We saw it last year with the NBA All-Star Game, Daytona 500. Super Bowls in Miami and in Tampa. Those events have attracted people. And soccer, as Phil has said, internationalization of soccer and us being the global city that we are, we have visitors that come from all over the world. If we put a product on the field that with key players from around the world, we will draw, people will draw. I think, you know, Phil's Brazilian partner has the ability to bring some additional Brazilian visitors into Orlando. Brazilians spend money. They spend more money than any other tourist here. So, we, you know, that those type of statistics make hoteliers very excited and very happy about soccer.
If you're a Brazilian tourist, though, say, and you're looking for a holiday in Orlando, do you think you would want to be sort of watching soccer? I mean, you have such great soccer back in Brazil, or, you know, if you're from another country where soccer is big. So what's the attraction of coming to a city where there's other things to do, like go shopping or go to the theme parks? And, you know, would you be wanting to catch a soccer game in your spare time?
If you have a Gaga plane for Orlando City, or if you have another Brazilian star player playing here that you may not have gotten a chance to see him play in live in Brazil, or he's been playing in Real Madrid. Gaga's been playing in Real Madrid for the last few years. And you're here in Orlando and you have an opportunity to stay maybe an extra couple of days because there's a game. Sure, you will stay because Brazilians are very passionate about soccer and they identify with the Brazilian star players across the world.
But also, you know, think about this. I grew up a baseball fan. So when I go to Boston, I catch a game at Fenway. When I go to New York, I go to Yankee Stadium. And just about any major league city that I go to, I try to catch a game in one of their stadiums.
But these are cities where, you know, those cities are sort of steeped in the history of baseball. I mean, you can't talk about New York and not talk about the New York Yankees or Boston and not sort of think about Fenway Park. Whereas it seems like in Orlando, you know, trying to sort of create something new almost from scratch.
We're pretty good at doing that. Medical City, Sunrail coming online, mm-hmm. Formula Arts Center, new Amway Center. So I think we've changed our whole attitude and mindset here in Orlando that somebody's got to be the best. Why not us?
I'm speaking with Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer and Phil Rawlins, president of the Orlando City Soccer Club. I'm also joined by Angel Della Portia, president of Central Florida Strategies and representative of Rosen Hotels, about the prospect of Major League Soccer and building a new stadium in Orlando for just that purpose. You're listening to Intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. What do you think about the idea of Major League Soccer in Orlando? Is it a good idea to have a new stadium here? You can contact us by email at intersection@wmfe.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Phil, I want to also ask you, you know, in terms of funding, we've talked about the new owner of Orlando City Soccer putting in about $30 million. I mean, is that a guaranteed figure there, or is that something which is sort of still on the table?
No, it's very much a guaranteed figure. And in fact, it's a larger figure than that, Matt. It's actually around about $85 million because the piece that kind of gets left out of the conversation a lot is the franchise. And we've got to acquire that franchise to bring it here to Orlando. So it's a combination of investment for both the franchise and the facility itself. And, you know, on the facility, this is not just a soccer-specific facility at all. It's a multi-purpose facility that could be, where obviously soccer would be the main tenant, but it could be used for many other sports as well and could be home to NCAA tournaments, Final Fours, lacrosse, any number of different sports, both the high school level, at the collegiate level, and the professional level. So we have an opportunity as a city to develop extra revenue streams and opportunities for visitation, as Angel's talked about, right across the board from the utilization of this facility.
And this new investor in Orlando City Soccer, Flavio Augusto da Silva, obviously he's sort of pinning his hopes on Orlando being able to attract that Major League soccer team, but What would happen? I mean, could a soccer stadium be built and then Major League Soccer say, sorry, we've decided to go somewhere else? Is that a possibility?
Not really, no. These two things are really going hand in hand, and it's why this this whole project has been, you know, so delicately managed and you know, so well put together in the last few months, because we've got to bring those two things together. It is, when the MLS was here a year ago, the one thing they left us with was, you know, the financing plan for a stadium. If we can do that, then they are very, very open and willing to bring in a franchise here to Orlando. In fact, Don Garber, the commissioner in MLS, spoke about that just last weekend. So we're going down parallel paths here with the help of local government, with Orange County, with the city of Orlando, with the help of the community here locally and our fan base. We're getting ourselves prepared to bring that franchise. At the same time, we're constantly in dialogue with Major League Soccer about when that could happen, the details of how it will happen. And if all goes well, we could see an announcement in that, I think, before the end of this calendar year.
And we would certainly not build a stadium only in the hopes of having a franchise. We would say, here's our plan to build a stadium if you award a franchise.
That's right.
Angel, I just want to come back to you for a moment. You mentioned before that some hoteliers are perhaps a little hesitant about the idea of building this stadium, I think partly because of where the funding would come from. Now, I understand part of that would be sort of tourism tax dollars. Do you think there are, I mean, if hoteliers said that there are other areas they think that money could be better spent?
Well, you know, the hotel industry is very protective of the tourism development tax. But if you look at the origin of that tax when it was created, it allows for the use of that tax to be used on sports stadiums. And that's the mechanism that we used to build the Amway Center 5 years ago and to approve that deal. You know, certain hoteliers, it just depends really on the location of whether or not there would be a benefit. If your hotel attracts Brazilian guests or international guests and you're priced and you market to those areas, certainly, you know, you can see definitely an increase in business. You know, again, I can't speak for all the hoteliers. But I think that using TDT for a project like this will obviously create a lot of debate, and some will be on board, some won't, and you know, it's too soon to tell right now.
Matt, can I just make a comment on that briefly? You know, this is just one proposal that has been put forward. It's certainly by no means the only proposal, and there's other options here as to how this could get financed. And I think it's the collaboration of you know, the politicians and the community leaders in Orlando that is enabling this to happen. So we've got a number of proposals out there to choose from.
Mayor Dyer, I want to come back to you now. I mean, you talked just before about developing a sports and entertainment corridor through that sort of Church Street area, and mentioned some land set aside by the city where the stadium could go. That's in Paramore, is that right?
It is in Paramore, between the Citrus Bowl and the Amway Center.
So what sort of impact do you think a soccer stadium might have on residents who live around there?
Well, only a positive impact. We've invested a lot of thought and study on how to improve the conditions in Paramore. We launched Pathways for Paramore 8 years ago. We've reduced juvenile crime there by 80%. I want you to think about this. Once upon a time, people would say Paramore is the most dangerous neighborhood in Orlando. We've had one homicide there in the last 7 years. So we've made dramatic improvement. And this commercial entertainment corridor will not impact the residential pieces of Paramore because we have protected the five historic neighborhoods that are in Paramore. And having additional transit and transportation opportunities in Paramore are important. The Lions have been the ownership group have been very good about getting directly involved in civic and community organizations and services, and I would have to assume that they'll have a big impact on the youth sports and youth participation in Paramore.
And what about other businesses? I mean, some people have also expressed concerns that businesses might have to move to make way for this, or there might be some sort of impact there. I mean, is there any sort of thought to helping those businesses out?
Well, the area that we have does not have any businesses on it or associated with it, so it can only have a positive impact on any existing businesses in Paramore.
Matt, I think the other thing to mention as well is the opportunity for employment here for the residents of Paramore as well, because, you know, we would certainly want to, we think of them as our neighbors, so we would certainly want to open up that opportunity for employment opportunities for the residents of Paramore once the stadium was built.
Have you gone out and spoken to people in Paramore about what your plans are?
You know, we've not at this stage because that would be a little premature. And you know, we've put this together, and we're getting close to a stage now where I think we can start to do that. But prior to this, it would have been a little premature. But I look at what the Philadelphia Union have done, for example, in Chester in Pennsylvania, which is a very poor neighborhood, very very similar in demographics to Paramore. And they employ, I believe, it's over 66% of their employees come from that area in the stadium, not only on game day, but also in operations and maintenance and everything else. So a stadium like this can have a very positive impact on a community.
Mayor Dyer mentioned before something about, you know, trying to get more involved in the community there and be sort of being a partner in that. And I've read somewhere that you had thoughts about putting in some extra turf in other parts.
Yeah, it's more than thoughts. We have a plan in place to develop a couple of lit artificial soccer fields in the Paramore area as a program there that we're working on. And we're working with the US Soccer Federation, their grant system, and our foundation, and the mayor and the city of Orlando as well to plan that out. But yeah, our longer term goal there is to have a couple of well lit fields that can be used, because there's a huge Haitian community down there in Paramore that, you know, grew up playing soccer and think of it as their big sport. So we'd love to do that with them.
Mayor Dyer, I want to ask you, are there thoughts to other areas that the soccer stadium could go, or is it Paramore or bust?
Well, MLS has a model of these let's call them medium-sized stadiums, 15 to 24,000. We're talking about probably 18.5 in Orlando. And their model is to be in the urban core. And it fits perfectly with what we're trying to create in this sports and entertainment district.
I know that soccer is played now at the Citrus Bowl. I mean, could it keep being played there? I've read somewhere that the president of MLS is, you know, if there's going to be a major league team in Orlando, then the Citrus Bowl is sort of off the cards. But I know that, for example, in Seattle, I think the Seattle Sounders play on a multi-use stadium. Why wouldn't that work here?
No, good question. And if you look across the league, Matt, you've got 19 teams now in Major League Soccer. 16 of those 19 play in purpose-built facilities like the one that we're talking about. So that's very much the model of the future. And it's part of, you know, go back to the question you asked about the Miami and Tampa franchises. It's part of the reason that they failed as well. You know, when you play a sport that is reliant upon its atmosphere and the fan involvement in the sport is very, very high, which it is in soccer, then putting those people in the right environment to generate that atmosphere and excitement makes all the difference in the world. And that's why franchises work and franchises fail.
So, I mean, you talk about atmosphere and obviously going to an 18,000-seat stadium from, what's the Citrus Bowl?
65.
That's quite a big sort of shrinkage.
Yeah.
And so that what allows fans to get closer to the pitch and...
Close to the field, close to the action. You know, you can put a roof over that, which keeps the noise and sound in, keeps the vagaries of the weather in Central Florida off the fans as well, which is important. So for all those reasons, that's what creates the atmosphere. We were fortunate enough to take the mayor up to Kansas City in September, I think, and he and his team, you know, got to experience that firsthand, the difference that kind of facility makes.
Can I just ask you a quick question, Angel?
Sure.
Do you think having a soccer stadium in a different location, like perhaps closer to I Drive, where there are a lot of sort of tourist-friendly things for people to do, would that make more sense, do you think, or is it a good place to have it in this Paramore area?
Well, you know, the important thing is the MLS model has determined that the best site would be an urban location. And any business to be successful, location, location, location is very important. So the iDrive location, I know early on the team looked at several locations. However, you know, they determined, both the team and the league determined, that an urban setting would be the best bet. And, you know, one other thing that hasn't been mentioned is that the key demographic for MLS soccer is, you know, young people between the ages of 18 and 35. You know, there's a cluster of those young people that live in downtown Orlando, and that's the natural fan base there. I think, you know, the tourism aspect will complement the team, but it's important that they have a fan base, and the team has demonstrated that they have, you know, a core, you know, loyal core of fans in downtown Orlando, in Winter Park, and within commutable or drivable distances to the downtown location.
Mayor Dyer, just quickly, I mean, would a soccer stadium sort of take funding away from any of these other projects that are ongoing at the moment?
It would not impact the Citrus Bowl or the Performing Arts Center in any way. Certainly, if you use the TDT that Angel was talking about, the 6 cent of TDT, which is one of the proposals, can only be used for either tourist advertising or the construction of a facility that houses a professional sports team. That's why that was funding mechanism for Amway. So it wouldn't take away from there. The state funding and the team's funding wouldn't be available for anything else, and the city funding is isolated funding as well.
Phil Rawlins, I'll give you the final word. What are the next steps for getting this, making this plan a reality?
Well, you know, obviously a big piece of that lies with the state and the legislature to get that bill through, which is progressing well. So we continue to work with everyone there in Tallahassee to make sure that that goes through. With that done, then it's a case of bringing together the local communities to put our funding plan together. Once that's in place, back to the MLS, and then it's the details of when do we start. What does the franchise look like, and when can all this begin?
What's happening in the legislature at the moment? I mean, if that bill doesn't go through, is that the end of this dream, or is that just a part of the picture?
I think it's the end of it for the whole of the state of Florida, quite frankly, because at the moment it provides for one major league soccer team in Florida, which is something that I know the governor wants to see happen. I know certainly Major League Soccer wants to see happen. So it would certainly be a devastating blow and a step backwards.
I've been speaking to Phil Rawlins, the president and owner of Orlando City Soccer, also Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer, and Angela Della Portia, president of Central Florida Strategies and representative of Rosen Hotels, about the prospects of Major League Soccer and the potential for a new soccer stadium in Orlando. I want to thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Not everyone wants to see a new soccer stadium built in Paramore. I spoke to former mayoral candidate and community activist Mike Cantone and local business owner Luana Gelzer. They think the city could be doing other things to improve Paramore.
It's not just a bad deal for Paramore, it's a bad deal for Orlando taxpayers as well. Mayor Dyer has already maxed out our city's credit card. Our city is on the hook for many current venue projects and spending projects currently going on. But he's still spending and now proposing new projects.
Why should we bear the burden of them getting the benefits of our tax dollars? Yet we're not getting anything in return other than a soccer stadium that might bring revenue and might not. And then we don't know what jobs it's going to bring. I believe absolutely none.
I also went to Paramore to ask residents and business owners what they think of the idea.
I think it would be a beautiful idea because, you know, they taken away everything else. We don't have anywhere else to be entertained at, you know. And soccer is not a game that I really know a whole lot about. But people seem to enjoy it, you know. So, hey, let it be.
It'd be, anything like that would be good for this area. As far as business-wise, yeah, I think it'll bring a lot of different kind of people, you know, through. And as far as all the businesses, it'll be a positive movement. I could sure use the new crowd.
Now, they want to spend money to build the soccer field, but they won't put in any safety cameras for the residents. I think it's a waste of taxpayers' money. I believe it's a slap in the face to the people of Paramore area. I'd like to see the improvement of the Paramore area in the residential section. I mean, what else you need to draw people here?
I think it would help the area so long as that it provides job opportunities for those in the area. Another way I think it will help the area as the children in the community who never thought of soccer as an outlet or opportunity for them in the future, I think it will give them something to aspire to and give them something to also enjoy, you know, as spectators as well.
That was Dave Mathis, Eric Fleet, Robert Woodyard, and James Derrico Morris. The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at wmfe.org/intersection, where you can also sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Brendan Byrne is assistant producer. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening. You